recall, at your last hearing, we had an item before you that was dealing with the Liberty Tree Charter School. And in somewhat unprecedented fashion, the Planning Commission, you all, actually requested a hearing with the school district board. We've had some discussions with both the charter school and even more recently, as in this morning, with the school district. So I would like to bring up Mark Gebhardt to update you on kind of the goings-on with this particular school, and then what we can look forward to coming up with regard to this particular site in this school. So if you wouldn't mind indulging me, I'm going to bring Mark up now, and then I'll finish mine.
That'll be just fine. And I don't even think we need IT services to handle all this, do we?
He's old school. He doesn't need it.
But we'll probably need the overhead.
Well, I think the overhead works fine. It's the overnight update of software on some of the computers.
And I was not present at the Planning Commission the last meeting, but I've read the minutes and seen the record. And what was presented to you was, on fairly short notice, a request for a charter school in compliance with, or in conformance with, the land development code requirements and state statute. And I want to make sure everyone's clear, since we're on the record, et cetera, and it may be in the minutes, is the land development code mirrors the state statute. So we didn't just invent the set of rules for charter schools. We followed exactly what the state statute said. And that creates this odd scenario that we've never experienced before here. There's no real statute about what the charter school is. What happens if you really request a hearing? Never has there, to my knowledge, been a planning commission that has requested a hearing at the school board. Usually planning commission hearings are here. You took an action to make a recommendation to the school board to provide certain information, and you're going to hear that in your minutes, as you've probably already read your minutes, and they're very thorough about exactly what you're asking. So for background, Lynn brought that forward, discussion occurred, planning commission had certain concerns, they expressed those in a letter, staff was directed to write the letter, the chairman signed that letter, went to the charter school, went to the school board. Then what happens? Along with that time period, there was a site development plan that part of what you saw in your staff report was some of that site development plan on school building location, access, etc. The school district has now received that letter. They have now, for your information, scheduled a public hearing at the request of the Planning Commission from that letter on June 27th at 6 p.m. I didn't pull that agenda up, but I think we can pull that agenda up. Well, if the computer's working, then we might be able to actually see what's going to happen. That is a public hearing for the Planning Commission, at your request, to go to that school board meeting. And it's also open for the public and the neighborhood concerns. And we've had several neighbors who have expressed that their concerns with the charter school. In the meantime, staff, Lynn, and now I get drug into some of this stuff for the fun of it, I guess. We've had a certain amount of discussions with the charter school folks as well. The school district has had discussions directly with the charter school as well to try to receive that same information that's of concern to you. And the school district has some of the same concerns that you also expressed. On your screen right here, as we spoke to the charter school yesterday, trying to see how do we resolve this issues of trying to provide that information and you requesting a hearing and this site development plan being submitted, how do we bundle all that together to try to get to some outcome without it being elevated to a giant world event. That's a challenge in itself. Now that the school board has scheduled that, they will offer that input. We're going to ask you today whether you would like to attend that school board meeting or whether you're going to request that staff attend it on your behalf and present those letters. With the site development plan that was submitted, there is a traffic report, and that traffic report has had an initial review by our staff members, but not a full review. That site development plan, I think it came in the 28th of, the 8th of May. The review cycle of that's not finished yet for all the outside reviews of that plan. So we don't have that full information to you. We can certainly pull it up on the screen and show parts of it. When we spoke to the charter school, we asked them to try to start to address those questions that you presented in your letter to them. This is a response to those letters that we received yesterday afternoon. We have not forwarded that to you, but we'll be happy to forward that to you. We've done a little bit of analysis of that letter.
That would probably be good to forward the letter to all the commissioners.
We just got it yesterday afternoon. We knew we couldn't pull it up. They asked us if we could at least bring it up. The discussion came up is whether you could take an action today to, if this letter resolved all your concerns, could you take an action to reconsider your prior request to have a hearing at the school board? We're too late for that. That didn't come quick enough to agendize. And in addition, we don't believe the letter here addresses all of your concerns specifically. And so we need to delve into that and provide that to you. We could go into a little greater detail, but we would ask if you tell us whether you're planning to go, because if we have more than a quorum, we have to do that as a public meeting announcement. Let me look at my notes to see if anything else we've got to do. In theory, it may be possible if you needed to not have a public hearing, it might be possible to reconsider this at the planning commission you're having in July, but that's unnecessary now because the school board has already scheduled this public hearing. The school board, as far as I'm aware, and our attorney may answer it, they can go tell you to pound sand. We don't care what the planning commission says. Or then go tell the charter school to pound sand. It is a process that's set up that provides the interaction between the planning commission and the school board to try to hit some common goal.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Curry.
I have a question. Maybe I misunderstand the purpose of this. I wasn't here when the vote was taken, but I supported it. I understood, perhaps incorrectly, So the Planning Commission has final approval on the location?
No. School board has final approval.
Okay. So we get these and then we can request the public hearing. I thought the intent of the public hearing was to allow the public an opportunity to have input into the issues so that things could be changed, and then the Planning Commission could reconsider after the public had a chance to have that input. I didn't understand that was a hearing for the purpose of the Planning Commission to have that, because we would just have it at a meeting. Isn't that more for the public than it is for the Planning Commission?
It's both for the public, and I'm not sure you're going to reconsider your prior action.
No, not for the hearing. I'm saying after the hearing,
no,
to rehear the location issue.
No, I don't believe that it comes back to the Planning Commission to rehear. I believe the statute simply provides that you can request the hearing occur at the school board.
Okay.
All right. I believe all of it. Attorney would agree with that.
So I misunderstood. So we don't have the approval on, we do for location for government facilities, but not for schools?
No, you have the
approval.
Well,
just for clarification, We were informed last meeting by Mr. Dossie that this was the only input the county really has is the access.
That's the primary input.
Mm-hmm. That the school needs access onto a county road, mm-hmm. Eastonville Road. And so the whole thing really revolves around that. And the questions, most of the questions we had and we put in the letter revolved around that access and consequently the right-of-way on Eastonville. Because, as I mentioned in the meeting, I have yet to go to a school where when you have some event at the school, there's ample property parking, that it spills out throughout the neighborhood and in vacant fields and all that kind of stuff. And so the location that they have selected, which is fine, and this charter school I think is fantastic, how do we keep them from having problems with traffic on Eastonville and dirt and all of that? And I think that's where it's all at.
But that's a big chunk of it, and it's not just the right-of-way on Eastonville. It is the directional turn lanes each direction and how the striping occurs and where the stop signs occur and whether it's a two-way stop or a four-way stop and if there's a signal at a later time. And there was even some discussion of a possible future roundabout at that location and whatever right-of-way would also occur.
Yes, all of that.
In response to Commissioner Curry's statement, an attorney will correct me as well, the County Planning Commission role on public facilities, places, schools, events is how to review those relative to your master plan. And then those entities that are the controlling funding entities of that proposal, whether it's a government building, a school building, or whatever, are the final authority for approval of those facilities. That entity, whether it be the federal government, a school district, the entity that finances it, can in essence, just like Cherokee Water and Sanitation District, overrule the Planning Commission when they disagree with your actions. So it's not the final decision that actually ends up occurring. It would be wonderful if the Planning Commission's wisdom was imparted on all those projects and they built that way, but it's not always that way.
Mr. Chair, if I could just chime in on that very topic. I think, and I'm certainly not an attorney, but I've been around school development long enough to say with some authority, I think the purpose of the state statute that requires or gives the Planning Commission the opportunity to have a public hearing in front of the school board is for that very reason, to allow, even though the Planning Commission doesn't have final authority, but to allow the Planning Commission and others to hopefully impart some thoughts around the school location and the issues that are being discussed. And so I, for one, still stand behind our recommendation that we have a public hearing in front of the school board so that we can share our opinion and impart our thoughts as a body and as members of the public in terms of what we think is a good plan for that school and that location. Just while I'm talking, by way of background, I'm aware of at least two occasions in Aurora where the Aurora Planning Commission has requested that a similar hearing be conducted in front of school boards, both for Aurora Public Schools as well as Cherry Creek Schools. And so I'd be happy to provide some background information to staff or others on that process and what those have looked like in the past. But I would agree that it's unprecedented for this to happen in El Paso County. But again, I'm quite aware of some occasions where it's occurred with other local jurisdictions.
And I wasn't aware of those other, because that's a city entity. It's
sure.
If it's not a court case, how would you know it really
Absolutely.
Happened?
Yeah, so I'm just offering that by way of my background and experience.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to clarify some comments that you made as well, and Mr. Dossie will correct me if I'm wrong, but what was stated at the last hearing is that El Paso County, through its planning commission or through its administrative powers, the only real hook or enforcement authority that we would have against a public school, including a charter school, is that access permit. So that is the mechanism through which we could impose certain conditions on the granting of that access to the county road. However, when it comes to the Planning Commission's considerations in whether it wishes to request a hearing, you can consider anything that is related to site development or planning considerations, including traffic, drainage, parking, buffering, compatibility with the surrounding neighborhoods, those types of issues.
But we would basically be in an advisory capacity.
Correct.
Only with respect to anything other than the access.
That's correct. And frankly, the access will be granted by the Department of Public Works. So again, you would still be advisory to that department in terms of any conditions you would like to see on that access permit, because you are not the issuers of those permits.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Mr. Chair, I would expand on that. I think Laura used the word hook. If the district doesn't carry its own MS4 permit with Colorado Department of Public Health and Environment, they would be subject to our MS4 permit. So that would be the other hook. And for those of you that don't know, the MS4 permit is our stormwater permit that we carry with the state of Colorado and the EPA. So they could be subject to enforcement under our MS4 permit as well. So that in addition to the access, that would be the other one. Any other questions on Liberty Chi Charter School?
Well, you had a question as to who was going to go or what we're going to do and all that, and I guess we could probably answer that.
Mark has voluntold that he would go.
Well, that's good that Mark's going.
But I think what we can do is maybe Tracy can send out an email to you all letting you know again of the date and the time. It is very important that you tell us whether or not you're going to be there, because if you are going to be there, and again, if we have a quorum, we do need to notify for that. So we can send out that email. You don't have to decide right now. I don't like putting people on the spot necessarily. Maybe some things I do.
Oh well.
Say what?
To answer Mark's question, I would like to go, and I intend to go, and other commissioners may choose to go. And if it looks like it's possible that we could have a quorum there, then I think we ought to notice it.
And I would like for staff to be there just to support you. If you have any questions from staff's perspective, we can hopefully help answer those. If you'd like us to get up and speak, we can do that as well.
We do need staff to be there for the simple reason as to what is traffic counts, what's the future plan for Eastonville Road, okay. All of that kind of stuff. I certainly am ill-equipped to answer any of those questions, and if I thought I was equipped, I would be well advised to keep my mouth shut. So,
well, I think you're well-equipped, but we would be happy to be there.
Mr. Chair,
so.
In addition to your planning commission or your department staff, would council also be attending that meeting? Would there be a need for attorney presence?
I'm going to defer that to Lori because I hate to commit her to anything.
Right. I don't want to commit, but I'm just wondering if...
It is not my intent to attend. If we can certainly have a discussion if either the Planning Commission or planning staff feels that there's a need for it, but it was not my plan to attend, no.
Okay. My recommendation is I really don't think that we need the county attorney's office there. I mean, need is kind of a tough word, but, you know, obviously if they want to attend, I think that's great. But it's kind of the finality of the process. So there's really no other gears to go through, no other processes to go through. It is kind of the end of the road. So at that point, it kind of is what it is from a legal standpoint.
Okay.
Any other questions for staff on this particular item?
Yes.
I just had a question about, is this the first public meeting?
It's my understanding that this would be the first and probably only public hearing on this item outside of the one that we brought before you.
So the agenda would be like about what they want to do, and then the public would
be. How the school district chooses to run their hearing is completely up to the chair.
Thank you.
The only thing that I'm aware of is that I saw a public announcement that they did have a groundbreaking ceremony for the charter school, so.
I was aware of that as well.
Yes.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I have a question. It's probably for the attorney. And I'm not going to push a noodle. I'm going to ask once, and then I'm going to stop, and I can take it offline. But relative to the Planning Commission's authority on location approval, I'm looking at CRS 30-28-110, Colorado Revised Statutes. And the very first paragraph says, I'm just going to paraphrase it slightly, that whenever any county planning commission has adopted a master plan of the county, no public building or structure, whether publicly or privately owned, shall be constructed or authorized in the unincorporated territory of the county until and unless the proposed location and extent thereof has been approved by such regional planning commission. I left out a few words, but I did not change the context. The bottom line is it says that if there is a master plan, the building can't be, the location of public one can't be built unless the planning commission approves the extent and location. That's the way I read the statute. Am I misreading it?
Let me pull it up real quick.
I'm going to answer that because I know the answer. You're right, but then it goes on to identify the appeal process,
right.
And that appeal process is through the funding entity.
Okay, but the bottom line is it requires an appeals process.
At this point, it would. So what happened was they did not formally submit an approval location application to us, right? They notified us that their intent to construct the school. We have a certain amount of time. I don't remember 30 days or whatever the number of days is to respond. And I say we, it's really you all to respond, right. Per state statute. That's why we agendized it previously for you to either ask for the hearing or not, because we didn't have an approval location application in hand. We now are working with them to submit it. And I'll tell you, they were confused on what they should submit, although we told them twice. You need a site development plan and approval location. The approval location is the statutory process. Site development plan is the land development code process. So that's how it ended up before the Planning Commission. So had they submitted an approval location, we would have brought it to you as a hearing to act upon that specific request to site the school on the property. That didn't happen because we didn't have that in hand.
But it will require that at some point in the future. And if denied, then it will require the formal appeals process.
I don't know the answer to that because this is kind of uncharted waters for us to get it
case,
ahead of
the
time.
In any case, the appeal would be given to the school board who is holding the public hearing.
Understood completely.
On that specific question, I'm going to defer to Lori because I'm sure there's case law on whether or not it has to then come back to the Planning Commission as an approval location or not. I don't know.
Right, I'm not worried about that part. I'm only saying that as I read the statute, I think that it has to come to us. Go ahead.
So before we get any further, I want to backtrack a little bit.
So
the statute that Mr. Curry cited under Title 30 is our general approval of location statute. Schools have a separate statute under which they operate. For those of you who are familiar with legal principles, and I don't expect you to be, there's a general legal principle that the specific controls over the general. So it is my opinion that the statute that applies to schools specifically applies in this case, not our approval of location statute. They are similar, but they are not the same. The applicable statute for schools is 22-32-124, and it requires that prior to the acquisition of land or the contracting for the purchase thereof, and I'm going to paraphrase, the Board of Education shall consult with and advise in writing the Planning Commission, and shall submit a site development plan for review. The Planning Commission can request a public hearing before the Board of Education relating to the proposed site location or the site development plan, at which point the Board of Education is required to schedule that hearing. So that's the process we're following here. So regardless of what happens at the first Board of Education hearing at the end of June, you will not see this again under any kind of appeal process or location approval process under Title 30. because this is the applicable statute under Title 22.
And as you have probably figured out, it creates some challenges for us because you're asked to agree to the siting or the acquisition of land for a school without having any idea how that school is going to function, how many kids are going to be there, any of that stuff. So there's a challenge, as Mr. Risley knows. If they choose to be subject to state review for building inspections, we are all but out of the process if they choose to leave us out of the process, outside of the process that Lori identified. In most cases, the Pikes Peak Regional Building Department, the schools have requested that the local building permitting issuing entity, which is PPRBD, inspect their structure. That brings us back into the process because we have to sign off on the building permit before they can go out and construct. That's where we bring in the access issues, the MS4 issues. So we kind of feel like we're always chasing our tail with the school, and really it's a product of state statute and it puts us in that position.
So, thank you.
I'm glad we can share all of our frustrations with you all. This is a great day.
It's a great opportunity to get educated in civics.
Yeah, it's too bad we don't have a whole room full of students here. They'd be learning a lot. If it's okay with you, I'd move on to
sure.
the Board of County Commissioners Action Report. As we always like to do, we like to update you on what the Board of County Commissioners effectively decides on either the items that you've made a recommendation on or some things that go directly to them that you all don't see. We had three applications for the Springs at Waterview development. There was three rezoning applications. Those were all approved by you all, two residential rezonings and one commercial. They were ultimately approved unanimously by the Board of County Commissioners. I believe those were on consent. The Carriage Meadows North filing one final plat, you all approved that 7-3. That was approved unanimously by the board, 5-0. The Meadowbrook Crossing filing number two final plat. This is kind of they were going to do it all at once, but there were some issues with floodplain. They got the floodplain out of that final plat. That was ultimately approved by the Board of County Commissioners as well, 5-0. And then probably the one that I need to provide you some explanation on, the Abert Ranch rezoning came before Planning Commission. You all recommended denial by a vote of 6-1. That went on to the Board of County Commissioners, who approved it unanimously 5-0. I always enjoy getting a report on the disagreement because you all are looking at me like, why did you let them approve that? There was a lot of discussion. I will tell you that comments made by you all certainly had was a topic of discussion. The board obviously saw it a little bit differently. Their concern was on the, if you recall, and I'll show you the exhibit here again. Their concern was the temporary road running out to Stepler Road from the what will ultimately be a turnaround. Commissioner Glenn had some concerns about making it a emergency access only and putting a gate on it. If you're familiar with the Doughwood gate situation up in the north end of the county, that was a very tenuous situation with regard to putting the gate up, taking the gate down, pass through traffic. So recalling on some of his experience, he definitely did not want to see a gate there. Ultimately, the Board of County Commissioners approved this, but they approved it with the acknowledgement, one, that road has to be built to county standards. It cannot just be a goat path. It cannot just be something that people are just going overland on. It has to be built to a county standard. There was a requirement that it could not be gated, and then they did uphold staff's recommendation that the subdivision, because if you recall, we were just talking about the zoning with the application. You didn't actually have a layout in front of you to approve. There was kind of a conceptual preliminary plan that we were already reviewing, but there was no commitment as to how it would actually be laid out. The board also supported limiting it to 10 lots. They supported the conditions that staff had proposed about the acreage sizes of those first few lots going from east to west from Stepler, kind of phasing the density, the higher density from east to west. So ultimately, they did approve it unanimously, but there was a lot of discussion. Mr. Jones, Dave Jones, showed up. He testified in opposition. Based upon what you heard at your hearing, which was that line that was drawn in the Black Forest plan that was supposed to distinguish between higher density and lower density, if you recall Walden being on the higher density end and some of the other ones being on the lower density end. I think the board, and this is my personal opinion, I think the board appreciated that the applicant was willing to look at phasing that density from less dense to more dense, from east to west. And honestly, I think that kind of won the day for them. And also being agreeable to building that road to the county standard and also agreeing to close it when that time comes when they can connect to the south. So that's the best explanation I can give you. Certainly, I'd be happy to answer any questions on that if you have any.
Yes, Ms. Friedman.
I wonder if the status...
Is your microphone on?
Oh, sorry.
Did the Black Forest plan come up as a topic? What was their thinking about that? Did they say it was too old or, not? I'm just curious.
They did, and it came up. I think anytime the Black Forest plan comes up, it's a 30-year-old document.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's certainly maybe an unspoken acknowledgement that it is an older plan. Whether or not you think it's outdated is probably a subjective interpretation. Obviously, it came up because it was really the crux of that decision, because we're talking about zoning and we're not talking about subdivision. So zoning and change of use and densities are really, it's all tied back to the criteria of consistency with the master plan. So that was the primary part of the discussion with the Board of County Commissioners.
Well, and that just makes me curious as to what triggers does the county use to decide that it's time to update a plan?
Well, I will tell you that that plan by itself is not intended to be updated. And I'll just put it on the record because we're already in the process of drafting the RFP. We are in the process of drafting an RFP to update the master plan. And as you all know, and those of you that just recently went through the training, if you didn't fall asleep before we got to the master plan discussion and listen to the audio, we're in the process of drafting RFP to do an update to the entire master plan. It's not one document, it's the compilation of multiple documents, all of our small area plans, the policy plan, major transportation corridors plan, the mineral extraction plan, parks master plan, on and on and on. My plan, what I would like to do, is combine most of those elements into one as a single land use master plan. It's probably going to take somewhere between 3 to 3.5 years to complete. If you've been keeping up with what's happening in the city is in the process of updating their, what they call, a comprehensive plan. Their comprehensive plan is only 10 years old. We have elements of ours that are over 30 years old. So it's kind of high time that we update a lot of these plans. We have 9 small area plans. It is impossible to keep them all updated individually, not only from a timing standpoint, but from a financial standpoint. We'll never have the resources to do that.
Okay, well, that's great.
Yeah, so we're in the process of doing that. We acknowledge that some of these are outdated. Some were based on premises like the super slab going around the eastern part of the city. Obviously, that didn't happen. We have master or small area plans that show commercial nodes along the what was supposed to be the super slab alignment. It's not going to happen, obviously, at least not at this point. So we are in the process of undertaking that, but we wanted to do the water master plan first, which Ms. Lucia Treves is sitting on behalf of the Planning Commission on the steering committee. So once we get towards a point of comfort with the water master plan, we're going to begin kicking off the actual master plan effort. We'll be hiring a consultant to do that work as well.
Okay, excellent. Thank you.
That was a lot, I know. If you have any questions.
I do have a question. Looking at the voting thing of how we voted and how the board voted, I see an awful lot of votes. On one of them, there's 11 votes cast. Mm-hmm. It was my understanding that the Planning Commission really had, we used 9 members for voting, and that we filled in holes with associate members.
We'll double check that, because those seem like a few too many to me as well.
So,
Gracie, do you have any idea on those two? Carriage Meadows and Meadowbrook Crossing, we have show 10 and 11 votes being cast by the Planning Commission.
It was 7-0
votes. 7-0. So the 3 and the 4 should be zeros.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay, because I will go through and identify which of the 9 commissioners are going to vote. And I wondered if...
I'm confident that that's the county attorney's fault for some reason.
If I was going to be the one who shut down the party.
So if we can move on to today's agenda.
Yes.
We have for you today all consent items. We have 3 consent items, and then, of course, your minutes from May 15th. If you have any questions on any of the items, we'd be happy to address them or bring the appropriate staff up to address them.
I don't hear any questions.
Okay. Anything else for me before I move out of the way?
No, but you've done a very fine job.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
I think I need a little help from Tracy in terms of which people should be voting members.
The 3 associate members are not voting. This is their second meeting out of 3 that are required.
Okay. So Mr. Bailey is not able to vote.
Ms. Blaya Nunez, Mr. Oreck, and Mr. Bailey are not able to vote.
Okay. Mr. Oreck isn't here. Okay.
Yes, he is.
Yes, he is.
Oh, I'm sorry. sorry. Okay, so the voting members will be Ms. Therese, Mr. Creeley, Mr. Curry, Mr. Risley, Ms. Dillon, and Mr. Wood is not here, Ms. Friedman, and myself. Okay. And with that, has everyone had a chance to review the minutes? Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing no corrections, then the minutes will be approved as presented. And that will move us then to the second consent item, which is vacation and replat. And that's VR 17-014. Does any of the commissioners wish to have that heard as a regular hearing item? Does anyone in the audience wish to have that heard as a regular hearing item? In that case, I'll entertain a motion for that without hearing.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
So moved. Do I need to go through this efficiency and...
Yes, you do.
Okay.
Just like we had finished the hearing.
Okay, with the item agenda to be VR 17-014 with 7 conditions and 1 notation, I vote approval.
Could you speak into your microphone a little bit more?
Approval under page 49 of the new standard resolution page showing sufficiency for quality, quantity, dependability.
Okay, is there
7-1. Yeah.
Is there a second?
Second.
Mr. Curry has seconded. Any discussion before we vote? In that case, I'll go through the roll. Mr. Risley.
Aye.
Mr. Curry.
Aye.
Mr. Greeley.
Aye.
Ms. Therese?
Aye.
Ms. Dillon.
Aye.
No, excuse me, Ms. Friedman.
Aye.
Ms. Dillon.
Aye.
And the chair votes aye, and the request has been approved for VR 17-014 with seven conditions, for one notation approval based upon page 49 with sufficiencies for quality, quantity, and dependability. The next item on our agenda is item SP 16-005, which is a preliminary plan for Springs at Waterview. And that is on the consent calendar. Does any commissioner want to pull that off the consent calendar? Does anyone in the audience wish to pull it off the consent calendar? Hearing none, we will proceed with that as a consent item, and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Curry.
As regards item 2C, file number SP-16-005, preliminary plan Springs at Waterview, I move for approval in accordance with the new standard resolution on page 25 with five conditions, two notations, and one waiver/modification, and a finding of sufficiency for water quality, quantity, and dependability.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
Mr. Risley? Any discussion? Hearing none, I'll go through the roll. Mr. Risley?
Aye.
Mr. Curry?
Aye.
Mr. Creeley?
Aye.
Ms. Therese?
Aye.
Ms. Friedman?
Aye.
Ms. Dillon?
Aye.
And the chair votes aye. And item SP 16-005, preliminary plan, Springs at Waterview, with five conditions, two notations, and one waiver modification. It is approved according to page 25 with sufficiency for quality, quantity, and dependability. The next item is PUD SP-18-002, which is a preliminary plan for Winding Walk. Is anyone, any of the commissioners, willing to pull that off the consent calendar? Hearing none, does anyone in the audience like to pull it off the consent calendar? Hearing none, we'll go ahead and act on that, and I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Mr. Risley.
As it regards consent item 2D, PUD SP-18-002, a preliminary plan and PUD for Winding Walk, I move for approval in accordance with new standard resolution on pages 29 and 25 with six conditions, four notations, one modification, and a finding of water quality, quantity, and dependability.
Second.
And second from Ms. Therese. Any discussion?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Yes, Mr. Creeley.
I was not, it's Mr. Curry,
and
I was not objecting enough to pull this off the consent calendar, but I intend to vote against it, primarily because I do not agree with the modification. They've asked for, they have approximately 15 roads in this development, maybe 16, and seven of them are they're asking for waivers for not putting mid-block crossings in, and they're justification for that was that they're trying to encourage use of the trail system. The challenge that I have with that is that people who are not able-bodied sometimes need crossings so that they can get across the street to visit neighbors and do those kinds of things. They may not be going where the trails are going to the public spaces. And so I don't support the modification. I have a problem with any of the rest of the plan, but I don't support that because I think there ought to be more crossings mid-block for people who may not be as able-bodied. So I intend to vote against it. I didn't need to have a whole hearing on it, though.
Okay. Does any of the commissioners want to hear more from staff or the applicant in regard to Mr. Curry's concerns?
Yes.
You would, Ms. Friedman? Then, Nina, could you, we don't want to do a full hearing, but to just address Mr. Curry's issue.
Mr. Chair, do we have a motion on the table?
Do you?
We do not have a motion.
Yes, we do.
Oh, yes, we do.
Yeah. Okay. Could we, in some fashion, have that withdrawn if we're going to open this up to
That's a very, very good
comment.
Point. Mr. Risley made the motion. Ms. Therese seconded. Could we hold that motion in abeyance pending this discussion?
I'll be honest with you. I am not a Roberts Rules expert. If anyone else up there is, I welcome your input. But
well, I'm not very expert either.
I don't know if we can
either.
Table it or if it should be withdrawn.
Should be withdrawn.
All right.
Since
Thank
I made
you.
The motion, I'll withdraw my motion.
And my second as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Nina Reese with Planning and Community Development. I understand Mr. Curry's concern is with the PUD modification. I did want to clarify that this does not apply, this request does not apply to the entire Meridian Ranch development. It's only for what has been requested. I certainly don't feel comfortable supporting or going against the applicant's request. So if it's okay with the chair, I would like to ask the applicant to come forward and explain why they believe that this request is necessary.
I think that's a great
okay.
request.
Thank you.
We have an applicant.
We do. Ms. Barlow will be coming okay. forward.
In fact, I saw two of them sitting back there.
Which document do you want to see, Tom?
The waiver for the.
You want the letter of intent?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, actually, the actual form that I filled out.
Holy moly. Cul-de-sac deviation. The deviation review and decision.
You can zoom in if you want to.
Isn't it nice, no matter what we request, we get results and...
That is.
Please, would you state your
okay.
name, Tom?
Tom Kirby with Meridian Ranch. The waiver request wasn't necessarily for every single roadway in the PUD. It is because there are locations that we are able to put in mid-block ped ramps on the T intersections. Wherever there's a T intersection, there is at least one ped ramp in each direction as required. However, there are some locations that it just appears to us that it's a safety issue on top of the desire to want to keep to have the folks walk on in the trails. The safety issue that I see, and I believe is stated in there, I'll double check, is that you've got cars that are parked along the road, and the pedestrians don't necessarily won't yield, or the cars won't yield to a pedestrian crossing in mid-block. Mid-blocks tend to be a little more unsafe than corner intersections and intersection pedestrian crossings. And so, in my opinion, we're trying to have the residents walk along the sidewalks and go to intersections to cross. That would be my only concern. There were only a couple of locations that I believe we exceeded the 600 foot, and I know that the waiver indicates a few more, but I believe there was only a few that were requested or that we would have required one.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
If you could scroll down one page and show this. all where the arrows are where you asked for it. There are seven roads there that you're requesting waivers. I think there's only 15 in the entire development, so it's about half of them. My concern is not for those people who can walk on the trail. My concern is for those people in wheelchairs or other mobility devices that may not be able to do that. And they would need, particularly as we try to build strong communities, if we want people to cross the street and say hi to their neighbors, it's unlikely that they're going to walk in all cases all the way down to an intersection. So that's my only concern, is that I just think that I support the idea of the trail system, and I understand your argument about safety. Mm-hmm. My concern is for those people who cannot do that.
Okay.
For whatever reason, age, mobility impairment, wheelchairs, whatever they might be, right? In some cases, children, people who just can't walk that far, and there's a reason why there's a 600-foot limit in the code, whereas one or two of these might make sense. I don't think that half of the roads in the development make sense. So it's just my perspective is that what is your provision for people who are mobility impaired?
Well,
relative to the mid-block crossings, they're going to have to go a long way.
Well, again, I don't believe we exceed the 600 feet very often. If we do, and if it is, it's not very long. I believe, just like anybody else, if they can, they would walk to the nearest intersection and cross in a safe location. And there aren't that many locations that exceed the 600 foot.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not going to push it.
Yes. Any other questions for the applicant? Hearing none, thank you very much, Tom. Are we ready to proceed?
Mr. Chair,
Risley?
Thank you. As it regards consent item 2D, PUD SP-18-002, preliminary plan and PUD for Winding Walk, I move for approval in accordance with the new standard resolution on pages 29 and 25 with six conditions, four notations, one modification, and a finding of sufficiency with regard to water quality, quantity, and dependability.
Second.
And there's a second. So we have a motion on the floor with a second. Is any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll go through the roll call. Mr. Risley?
Aye.
Mr. Curry?
No.
Mr. Greeley?
No.
Is that a no?
That's correct. That's no.
Ms. Streis?
Aye.
Ms. Friedman?
No.
Ms. Dillon?
No.
And the chair votes aye. We have three ayes and four noes, and the motion fails.
All based on transfer. Is there? Do we?
Now, do we need to
state the reason for the?
Yes, we can go through, but I'm just wondering. We don't need to. When you do a denial and it passes, we'll need to sometimes go back to pick up conditions and notations, but we don't have to in this case because we've already got them.
I'd agree with that.
So, yes, anyone who would like to speak for the record on why they voted the way they did?
Mr. Chair, I think I've already explained that. I think that relative to health and safety in a community, for people who are not able-bodied, I think it's a health and safety issue, at least for me.
Would you like to add anything in addition, Mr. Creeley?
I would, Mr. Chairman. I think I would have been a lot happier if I'd known exactly which ones they were, how far they exceeded the 600-foot limit. And
Ms. Friedman, would you like to make any further comments?
Yes, I agree with.
I can't hear you.
I'm sorry. Turn your mic on.
The button has to be up.
If the map showed which ones were already there at the end of the block, because some of them look like end of blocks to me, and it says it's mid-block. So, I mean, I just think a clearer explanation would have been helpful.
Ms. Dillon?
I agree with Mr. Curry and the others. There's a reason
that we have that restriction, and I think it is for the safety. As Mr. Curry said, we want these communities to interact with each other for all people, and I think this is restrictive.
Okay. Thank you very much, all of you. I'd like to just make one process comment. In the future, when we have an item that looks like it's okay to be on the consent calendar and everything, if you have a question, probably bring that up first and we'll deal with that question before we go in it. This one worked out fine, but it makes for a little more of a confusing meeting. So if people would do that, I would appreciate it. And with that, any other items?
Chair, I just wanted to let you all know that we do not plan on having a meeting on June 19th. So you'll actually get a hearing off, which it seems like a rarity lately. We had one item, and it was just a code change. You'll hear more about that, but essentially to remove the allowance for somebody to apply for a beneficial use agreement for waste tires to be used as a wall or a fence. You'll hear more about that when we do agendize that for you. One other item I wanted to update you all on, a point of pride for me as director, but if you recall, and I think I reported on earlier, Dennis Archuleta and Mike Rebner in our office won a innovation award from basically a committee that's appointed by the Board of County Commissioners. It includes one county commissioner as well as some department directors and then some other, younger and more tech-savvy folks. We won the award for our EDART program, which was our electronic submittal program that we started about a year ago. After that awards ceremony, several county commissioners wanted us to make an application to the National Association of Counties, NACO, for an award from NACO, and happy to report that we won that award. It is a NACO Planning Achievement Award. Again, it's for our EDART program, our electronic submittal program. As a result, I'm going to get to go to Nashville in the middle of July.
This is a benefit?
Yeah, it's, somehow that's rewarding us.
Drew the short straw on that one.
But the food's good, so we'll go with that. I will be accepting on behalf of the department in Nashville at the National Association of Counties National Conference. So just want to let you all know that the board's really big on making sure that we get acknowledged for a lot of the great things that we do. And when I say we, I don't mean just our department. I mean the county as a whole. If you pay attention to some of the things that have happened at the county with regard to multiple different departments, there's a lot of innovation. There's a lot of efficiencies that are being created with a lot of the programs that we're introducing. We're just a really small drop in the bucket compared to what the rest of the county is doing. But I thought you all would like to know that. I think it's certainly a sign of hopefully we're doing some of the right things to make not only our process easier but also a lot more efficient. So, any questions for me,
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yes.
Do you sing country or western when you go there?
You know, I don't own any cowboy boots. I can probably solve that pretty quickly if I choose to. But I have a feeling it'll probably be shorts and flip-flops in Nashville at that time. So thank you all for your time today. As always, I appreciate your willingness to spend some time with us. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And with that, I'll see you in July.
All right.
Speaking of hot.
Just one comment before we adjourn. Particularly for the new members, that you never know what's going to happen at one of these commission meetings. I came in with three items on the consent calendar and figured I'd be half everybody out of here in 15 minutes. So, you never know. We are adjourned.